And this is Building Bridges. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with
Ken Nash.
This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
And later on, the Supreme Court doesn't have to overturn Roe v. Wade to decimate abortion rights.
And now we really continue in some ways with our theme, we're going to go demonstrate. In nominating Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump has selected an extreme nominee beloved by those on the far right. It confirmed Kavanaugh would likely overturn longstanding legal precedents in ways that undermine our rights and freedoms while cementing into place the worst of Trump's legacy for generations to come.
In particular, Kavanaugh would certainly be the decisive vote, further eviscerating reproductive rights or overturn Roe v. Wade and allow a return to the criminalization of abortion. Kavanaugh's nomination also threatens the progress made on LGBTQ equality in recent decades. Kavanaugh's anti-clean air, anti-worker, anti-healthcare track record as a federal judge, and his nomination was pre-approved by the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, two right-wing organizations that seek to outlaw abortion and skew the legal system further in favor of corporations and the wealthy.
Kavanaugh's history makes clear he is a narrow-minded elitist who would favor the wealthy and powerful. Everything from women's basic rights to health care to clean air and from civil rights to workers' rights to immigrants' rights. They're all at stake in this fight. So take up the picket sign and head with us to the Supreme Court because we're going to join a demonstration already in progress to say no to Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the country's highest court.
But an amazing champion for equality for everyone, Senator Smith from the great state of Minnesota.
And this is our message to every United States Senator. Hell!
Directions at Once, The Lost Album, absolutely superlative. What a find. You have to get it.
No, that President Donald Trump has nominated Brett Kavanaugh to replace Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court. It will be up to the Senate to fully vet him so that the American people can determine whether he will uphold the basic civil rights and liberties relied on by everyone in this country.
This is particularly true when it comes to abortion rights, where Kavanaugh's prior opinions on the subject, coupled with the fact that Donald Trump vowed to only nominate justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade, give rise to serious concern about women's continued ability to access abortion if Kavanaugh is confirmed. A new Supreme Court justice could effectively decimate women's access to abortion, even without overturning Roe outright.
Overturning Roe would be catastrophic, but it's not the only scenario in which politicians will be able to shut down abortion care. The court can give them back the powers to do so by
simply upholding whatever obstacles they throw in a woman's path.
Right.
Now, Talcott Camp with the ACLU Reproductive Freedom Project, the issue, how the Supreme Court can decimate abortion rights even without overturning Roe v. Wade. So let's start with really the state of Roe v. Wade, the state really of abortion rights as it currently exists, and what we think will be coming before the Supreme Court, and how there is the real possibility of eroding significantly, gutting the right that does exist now, whether it's through an outright reversal or whether it's doing what has been done for the last years. And you can explain it so poignantly, but the critical issue is people have to be on the alert.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. People absolutely have to be on the alert. This is not a fire drill. But I want to start by saying thanks so much for having me on, and thank you for playing John Coltrane. It's so important in pretty desperate times to, you know, stay connected to the beautiful cultural artistic heritage of this country. So thank you for playing John Coltrane. So I also want to say that, you know, I'm here as an expert on, you know, Supreme Court jurisprudence that can affect all of our lives, in particularly the aspect of our access to comprehensive reproductive health care. But I want to acknowledge that there is so much more than that as well that is on the table with this Supreme Court nomination. So the fact that I'm an expert on this one area, no one should take that to mean that we don't recognize the critical, things that are at risk in the rest of people's lives. So I just want to say that. As for access to reproductive health care and contraception, abortion in particular, yes, the current state of play is quite precarious, and this nomination could tip the balance on the Supreme Court in a way that allows states to ban abortion either explicitly or with a wink, wink, nod, nod, fake health regulations. And it doesn't actually matter for folks' lives on the ground which one of those happens, because people in those states, and very disproportionately low-income people and people of color, will be unable to access the care they seek. And it doesn't matter if the court has explicitly overturned Roe and said, yes, states may ban abortion, or if the state has said, yes, excuse me, or if the court has said, states may decide that you can't provide abortion care, including giving women an abortion pill, unless you have local admitting privileges at a local hospital allowing you to do OBGYN surgery, and you perform the care in an ambulatory surgical center, which is a mini hospital, and now fill in the blank. You have a PhD in biochemistry, and you've run 4 marathons, right? Things that are clearly unrelated to patient safety, but which are and are calculated to be unattainable for the clinicians who provide this care. So that's what I want folks to take away. One, this is not a fire drill. You need to call your senators and make sure they ask this nominee the tough, direct questions. And number two, don't think the only thing that puts actual access on the line is an explicit overturning of Roe.
And what are some of the cases that have been working their way or being pushed up to hit the Supreme Court that would really gut what is left of the Roe v. Wade decision, which made abortion legal in all 50 states by holding that politicians cannot constitutionally ban abortion except after the point in pregnancy at which the fetus could survive outside the woman's body. And that was the basic premise, and which was rooted in the right of privacy legally of the initial Roe v. Wade. So take us through what you've referenced some of the gutting, but what do you think is going to actually come before the Supreme Court, and how would it in fact begin to pull the legs out from what is left, really, of the right to abortion, which was made legal again in 1973? Mm-hmm.
Sure. And that was a nice statement of the standard, Mimi. And that was the core holding. The politicians can't ban abortion. That was the core holding of Roe and of Casey, a 1992 case, and it has been reaffirmed repeatedly by the court. So there are many cases already working their way to the federal courts, and I can tick off a few of them. But I want to flag two things. First, Number one, a state legislature can pass a law fairly quickly. A state legislature can give that law immediate effect. And if the district court and the circuit and or the circuit court allow that law to take effect or block it, whichever side has lost, including a state, can ask for an emergency action from the Supreme Court. So a case could get up there fairly quickly, say in the next 12 months, involving a law that hasn't been passed yet. So the cases I can list, are not a comprehensive list of cases that could end this, abortion access for women in the states that wish to end it. The second thing is, taking a case is not the only way the Supreme Court could allow states to eradicate abortion within their borders. Let me explain why. There are circuit courts that may not follow what I believe is precedent. They may not properly apply existing precedent and allow a law to take effect that explicitly or effectively ends abortion in a state. If the folks challenging that law, typically clinicians who provide the care, if they ask the Supreme Court to review that decision and the Supreme Court doesn't take it, that decision stands. So in that sense, actually issuing a decision isn't the only way the Supreme Court could allow politicians to end abortion. But having said that, let me mention a few cases that are already in the federal courts. So a number of states have banned D and E, dilation and evacuation. This is the procedure that accounts for, over 95% of abortions after the first trimester. And such laws have been struck down in Alabama and Texas and Arkansas. And in Alabama, ACLU challenged that law, and my colleague Alexa Colby Molinas argued in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and we are awaiting a decision from the 11th Circuit. Similar D and E ban in Texas, and we all await a decision from the 5th Circuit Court of Appeals. That's a challenge brought by Planned Parenthood and Center for Reproductive Rights. Arkansas. That's my case. That is just an omnibus challenge to four different laws, each of them worse than the next. We have a preliminary injunction, and we await an argument date from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. In Arkansas, Planned Parenthood has challenged a law that says you cannot provide mifepristone, early medication abortion, unless you have a written contract with a backup doctor who has local admitting privileges. And that is impossible to attain in Arkansas. So there was a preliminary injunction blocking this law because it would end early medication abortion in Arkansas. The Eighth Circuit vacated that decision, and I'm skipping over some procedural stuff, but basically Planned Parenthood asked the Supreme Court to reverse that decision by the Eighth Circuit, and the Supreme Court didn't take that case. That allowed the law to go into effect, and early medication abortion with mifepristone, the abortion pill, ended in Arkansas, and women could not access it. I think it was about 3 weeks. Arkansas has three abortion clinics, two in Little Rock and one in Fayetteville. Hmm. One of the ones in Little Rock and the one in Fayetteville provide only mifepristone abortion. That means that for, I believe it was 3 weeks, there was one single clinic left in Arkansas. Arkansas has a very large, low-income population, extremely difficult for women who would otherwise have accessed care in Fayetteville to travel all the way to Little Rock. So Planned Parenthood went back. They got another preliminary injunction against this law, and I think we can expect Arkansas to appeal that decision, and we'll see what the Eighth Circuit does. There are many others. Missouri has laws that are likewise ending mifepristone. Mississippi has a ban at 15 weeks. And that is blocked. There's a trial on that case coming up in September. And we'll see where those cases go.
And one of the things that you point out in your blog is that if the Senate confirms a Supreme Court nominee who shifts the balance on the court and the court overturns Roe v. Wade, many states will ban abortion. And what you explain then is that by some courts, almost half the states would do so. 17 states already have laws on the books to accomplish this swiftly, and I'm quoting you, if the Supreme Court overturns Roe. So there's these various methods of kind of gutting women's reproductive health rights and the right to choose. And there are these cases winding their way up and the gutting on the state level. What do we know of Kavanaugh's position on abortion on the record? And I guess I would specifically like to refer to the Jane Doe case, if you will, with the young immigrant woman, which I think give us some frightening clues of where Kavanaugh is at on the question of abortion.
Sure. And I want to say that Kavanaugh has certainly not stated explicitly, that he believes Roe and Casey should be overturned. That is not the case. I mean, Justice Thomas, for example, has said that. So I think we know where he will vote, given the opportunity. We don't know that about Brett Kavanaugh. And I will talk about the Jane Doe case. But just remember, he doesn't have to vote to overturn Roe in order to shift the balance on the court, so that the court again allows politicians to eliminate abortion care altogether, while forcing women to travel huge distances to access care if they are able to travel at all, or forcing women to, self-source their abortion care, which, we know is already happening to some degree, and will happen more, to the extent that this court allows politicians to end abortion care. So Brett Kavanaugh has, for example, he gave a speech to the American Enterprise Institute in which he praised Justice Rehnquist's dissent from the Roe versus Wade decision. We know that. Although he was talking about sort of doctrine, not outcome. And then we know what Brett Kavanaugh did as a judge on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. That's the federal appellate court in D.C. That hears many, many administrative law cases, but did hear this one abortion-related. He did hear this one abortion-related case. So this was a case the ACLU brought on behalf of Jane Doe, who was a 17-year-old unaccompanied immigrant minor. She was in a federal, you know, she was in federal custody in a shelter, and the federal government had delayed her for weeks in obtaining abortion care. The ACLU went to federal court and got a temporary restraining order from a district court judge in D.C. A three-judge panel of the appellate court, the D.C. Circuit, said, well, the government ought to have 10, 11 more days to find a sponsor to release her to. And if, and then she could have her abortion while she's no longer in federal custody. If that doesn't work out well, you could go back to the district court, ask for that temporary restraining order again. But of course, if it's issued, the government could appeal again. And Judge Kavanaugh wrote that order. We asked for the entire en banc D.C. Circuit Court to reconsider that decision. It did, and it reversed, and it said, no, we're putting that temporary restraining order back in place, and indeed Jane Doe was able to obtain her abortion care. But Judge Kavanaugh wrote a dissent. You know, without getting into too many details, what's clear is that even under existing precedent, and he said he was applying existing precedent, Judge Kavanaugh was fine with extending by at least 10, 11 days, possibly more, the delay the federal government imposed on a young woman whom they had already delayed by weeks. So that is very disturbing.
Well, we're just about out of time, but as you said, this is not a fire drill. This is the real deal, and it is imperative that we, one, continue to support the work of the ACLU, which has been exemplary in its challenges and its defenses to the erosion of reproductive rights for women throughout the country, and to assure that our senators get on the ball and represent our will to maintain abortion rights, our human, our civil rights, and not, and this is my position, not Talcott's, put in justices who would deprive us of the right to choose. And that was Talcott Kapp with the Reproductive Right Project of the ACLU. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.